Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I'm telling you, I still can't get over Jay Glazer telling us a few minutes ago. You know, in case you missed the interview, we're going to play it back a little bit for you later on. With this story involving Brian Flores getting fired as Dolphins head coach, and everybody talks about what a good head coach he is, but he's got problems getting along with people and needs to be able to manage downward towards the players and upward towards the front office as well. And, you know, and it becomes a thing that, you know, you don't want to get that to be a stigma about you that you can't get along with people, but the guy's a good coach. And, you know, when Jay stopped by and said, "You think Sean Payton's a day at the beach? He fires his coaches 9 times a game." I still can't get over that. What was that play call? Well, I thought we could. You're fired. We get somebody else in there can call the next play. That play sucked.
Yeah, I mean, going after Dennis Allen is like, hey, can your defense get me a stop here?
How many times did Glazer say he's fired Dennis Allen? Right, like 140 times.
Yeah. I said 114 times by my count.
What kind
that's
of play
just
call
what he
is
knows
that?
Of.
You're fired. All right, that's great. Okay. All right, here's what we're gonna do.
Why are
here's
we in this defensive formation?
You're fired. Sorry, I'm new here. Does this mean I take over? No, you're new. I get fired all the time. Probably like 5 or 6 times a game. It's okay. Don't worry about it. We're just gonna keep going. It'll be okay. He's fired.
But think about that. That's
game.
I mean, we watched it happen live and in living color, or so we were told, with Bruce Arians and Antonio Brown. And I mean, that was just once. Think about the communications on the – I mean, I want the radio calls now. Release the tapes.
And who is Sean Payton yelling? Oh, it's probably one of his coaches. He's firing one of his coaches right now. They're leaving
the sideline.
He's mic'd
up right now. You dirty, miserable son of so-and-so.
You're fired.
How dare you bring in the nickel package?
Where's our special teams coach? That punt went 33 yards. You're fired. Oh, boy. This will be one of those games, I guess. He's going to fire everybody on the way. Sean Payton, 9 times a game, firing his coaches. Again, we'll play that bit back later on with Jay Glazer. If you missed any of it, you want to get it. Our Best Of podcast goes up after the show is over on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it is there. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Subscribe, rate us, download it. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. Now, meanwhile, elsewhere in the NFL, as we get set for a big weekend here, you know, first time we got a Monday night playoff game. We only have one bye. We got 6 games. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford has put everybody at ease, well, most people at ease, by saying his toe is okay. It should not impact him much in Monday night's wild card playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals, but he's not going to let you see it. Unlike Aaron Rodgers, let me show you my COVID toe. Here it is. It's this. He wouldn't show anybody, but he said he is okay. I should be feeling really good on Monday. I'd show it to you, but I don't want to do that. That's for other guys to do. I'll keep my toes to myself in this one, but it's doing good. I should be all right. Stop with your Rex Ryan jokes. Stop with your his toes are okay. Everything is fine. Matthew Stafford says he'll be all right.
Were you worried about his toe?
Well,
if he suits up on Monday, I don't give a damn about his toe or anything else. You made it onto the field. There are no excuses for toes. Come on, man.
What everybody else is worried about, I can make you feel better, because everybody's worried about Matthew Stafford, and now is he turning back into Matthew Stafford, right? After a big run this season, he started out great. He had a couple of bad weeks in the middle of the season. Then he had 3 great weeks. Then he struggled a bit the last 3 games, especially the loss to San Francisco. They lose in overtime, and he throws the bad pick trying to force the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. in overtime that seals the game. And now, for all the goodwill Matthew Stafford has put out there, everybody is on pins and needles. Going, oh my God, is Matthew Stafford, he's going to stink again. Oh my God, he's back. He's going to throw 3 picks. We're going to lose. The Cardinals are going to win. I can solve all of Matthew Stafford's issues in one fell swoop, because I'm going to say this and you're going to go, oh yeah, those are the Rams' issues. I can solve them all And it's something that was the question I had when the Rams got Odell Beckham Jr. was, hopefully they don't try to force the ball to him like the Browns did. Because Odell's coming in, and he's at least the number three weapon on the team, maybe number four. But he's not Odell Beckham where you got to get him the ball. Because, look, that hurt the Browns. And Baker Mayfield and other Browns have said it. You know, hey, we had to try to get him the ball early in games. That didn't give us a great offense. And when Odell Beckham got hurt last year and wasn't playing, the offense kind of flowed more. So, yeah, you want it. Well, we got to get the ball to Odell Beckham. We got to keep him happy. He's living his last NFL life right now, so he should be happy just being on the Rams, as long as the Rams don't try to force the ball into him. And what does Matthew Stafford do? Trying to force the ball to Odell, but he's trying to force it to him deep. If you would stop trying to force those deep passes to Odell, everything would be fine. Because that's when Matthew Stafford makes bad decisions. When he throws those down. How many times? I had three of his bad interceptions off the top of my head in the last 5 weeks were because he tried to throw the ball deep to Odell Beckham. And you know what? Odell's not that great a deep receiver. That's not where he does his damage. That's not the player he is now. He's someone in the middle of the field that can find space, long outs, long passes over the middle. But to try to throw it deep, you see, they're just not on the same page. Whether Stafford underthrows him like he did last week for the game-ending interception, whether he throws into double coverage where Odell can't go up and get the ball, that's the thing. Just stop trying to force it deep to Odell. That's not the guy to do it to. You need him in the middle of the field. You'd move the chains. That's how you go with Odell Beckham. He's a guy that can find those sweet spots and give you some 20-yard gains, and it looks like he's not even trying. That's how you do it. When you try to throw deep, that's what puts him in trouble. Because it's not just Matthew Stafford, right? That interception at the end of the game against the Niners, Odell made absolutely zero play on that ball, and he saw it coming down, and he could have stepped and fought for the ball and maybe broke up the interception. But he just kept going. He looked back. He sees the ball coming down. He knows it's underthrown, but he's going to keep running. And I'm like, how do you not stop and at least try to make a play on the ball? How do you not even try? He made a horrendous play on the ball. He's done that deep balls in the past. It's like he expects the ball to bounce off somebody's shoulder pads into him. So I'm still going to try to be 3 yards past everybody when the ball is coming down, because if it's not here, it's going to bounce over to me. They're just not on the same page. And that part of it just isn't working. And that's when the Rams get into trouble. If you stop doing that, the Rams probably have two more wins on this season than they do. They probably find a way to pull it out last week. They probably win earlier in the season as well, and that now the Rams have much less difficulties. But if you stop doing that, you solve all the solvable Matthew Stafford problems, and everything is great going forward.
Yeah, for me, I think a lot of it comes down to you got a little bit of game action and a few carries for Cam Akers. Can he become a bigger part of the offense alongside Sony Michel to give you that play action back? And like you said, with Odell Beckham Jr., work him in the middle. Try to find a scrape over the middle for him and some running room, and not balls where he's got to go up and play defense because he's not doing it, right? I mean, look, some of those throws by Stafford were atrocious, you know, forcing it into double, triple coverage. But your wide receiver still has to go and try to play the ball instead of kind of watching. A lot of standby kind of thing. It's like we talk about in basketball all the time. It's like, all right, superstar's got the ball. I don't really need to work because it's not coming back out to me. Same thing here. Odell, you know, at times disappears. And what they need to recall is you had an offense that was humming before you got him in. And I know the big play potential is there. The reputation is there. And he's made some big plays, right? The touchdown reception, you know, reaching in past the pylon in a big game at the end of the regular season. I mean, those are all wonderful things. But it's all about staying on point and on balance. The toe, between that and Kelly Stafford saying, please don't sell your tickets because Matthew couldn't hear.
Oh, my goodness. We got to get to Kelly Stafford.
Yeah, we'll get to that in earnest. But like right now, tickets, you can get in there if you came out to L.A. and you wanted to go to SoFi Monday night. It's under $75 was the last time I saw for get in. And I'm still getting texts from, you know, ticket reps saying, you want in? I'm like, I gotta work. Leave me alone. We've had this conversation. I'll be on commenting about how many fans are taking over your stadium.
But look, Odell Beckham is at best the number three guy for the Rams, right? He's at best the number three guy, and maybe the number four guy, depending on the game Van Jefferson is having. That's always my big fear, that the outsized persona, him coming in, well, now we have to throw him the football, right? We have to keep him happy. We have to make it obvious that there's a reason why we brought him in, how he makes us better. And he's just got to be part of the offense. I get it's a hard thing. I get it's difficult, but that's the one thing that if you want to win, they have to do. And I got news for you. There's going to be a lot of points on the board on Monday because the Rams are struggling defensively. Look, they signed Eric Weddle, but we know the Rams can put points on the board. This is going to be one of those last possession kind of games where the one turnover can wind up just absolutely crushing you. So they got to get on this like right now. If they can just stop that, Matthew Stafford look like a much better quarterback and everything will be okay. Because look, he'll still throw a pick now and again, but he's still throwing 300 yards and three touchdowns a week. That's okay. That's just got to cut back. Just instead of throwing two, if you have a game with three touchdowns and one pick, all right, great. They'll live with the one pick. But that second one, when you try to throw it deep and that's a deflating pass, because all it does is deflate the team. Why is that pass being thrown? Odell's not going to get it. And now we're going back out there to play defense. Those are the unforceable or the errors you can stop that are unforced errors, right? There's some interceptions where, well, I got to try to make this throw. It's third down. I try to get it in a window and it gets picked off as a bad decision, or I'm getting taken down. I want to get the ball out and I make a bad decision trying to make a play. All right, that's something that happens in the heat of battle. These are the unforced errors that happen. And if the Rams can cut down on those, I'm feeling great about my Rams Super Bowl prediction. But right now, I got to be honest, I'm feeling really nervous because Monday night can go either way, even though the Cardinals are on vapors going into this game. And clearly, their season could end just as easily as it goes on. It's almost like the Raiders and Chargers last week moving ahead this week in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the big thing coming into this game is taking the totality of it. We'll get into it deeper tomorrow night. Is, you know, James Conner and Chase Edmonds are both game time decisions. Edmonds says he's going to go. Conner maybe a little less certainty, which to me is a huge deal for that offense. We talked earlier about why couldn't you get Larry Fitzgerald to come back? If nothing else, he could have just been a sit down guy towards red zone opportunities for you. I know he only had one touchdown catch a year ago, but the point is things change, things evolve. For Odell Beckham Jr. right now, having been with the team for half a year, he is fifth on the season in the target count. Cooper Kupp, 191 targets on the year. Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, 89 and 85 respectively. And then you've got Robert Woods, who was at 69 when he got hurt. So certainly working to get him into game situation, averaging six targets per game. It's just got to be smart usage and for Matthew Stafford to play within himself, something I know is one of the great euphemisms in sports, but don't try to force it. You got plenty of possessions and you've got a creative play caller who may or may not fire his people nine times a game.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, the biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That is visitlasvegas.com. Well, big result in college basketball. Just in, UCLA falls in overtime to Oregon. 84-81 is the final. And continuing on the theme of all the best teams in college basketball losing this week, hey, look,
we didn't talk to anybody over there, though.
No, it's lucky. Luckily, that has worked out. No one can blame us for the losing. Look, UCLA, number three in the country, now they'll drop. And it's just one of those years where the best teams, all right, are the best, but it's not like they're head and shoulders above everybody else. Even though, you know, you look at the top teams, you look at Baylor and Gonzaga, and they're not the teams they were a year ago. And as good as the teams are at the top, you're going to still see a lot of turnover between now and the end of the season because the best teams are all beatable. It's one of those years where you're going to get into a bracket and we're going to see insanity. And we're going to see a 6 seed and a 7 seed and a 2 seed and a 4 seed in the Final Four, because that's the kind of year it is. Everybody at the top is beatable. They all are.
Celebrate chaos, because right now you got another game early second half. Oregon State's up 10 on USC, currently ranked 5th in the country.
It is going to be
chaos, baby.
Filling out brackets, good luck. This is one of those years where who's winning? I can't believe Sherry is winning. What was her method? She picked the colleges she'd rather go to. So she picked Harvard over USC. And Harvard, you know, somebody like that is going to win your bracket pool and go, I don't understand how that happened. That's who's going to win this year.
All the analysis, all the time that'll be spent poring over statistics and advanced metrics and time that, you know, upperclassmen are on the court together and how long the point guard has been working overnights and his passing drills, all of those things come to play. Now, what do you got? You know what? The average SAT score of this school entering was higher. Ergo, I picked them.
Boy, Colorado sounds like it'd be more fun to go there than Arizona. I'm going to pick Colorado in this game. No, Arizona, are you kidding? Oh, okay. Oh, good luck. That's going to happen.
Do I want to surf or do I want to ski?
David Culley was fired today as head coach of the Houston Texans. There's no great segue. It's just the story. It's big. It's out there. It's not a shocker, because when he was hired, look, Adam Schefter reported that they only were up to give his money or only liable for his money for the first 2 years because they knew full well it was a could be a one-and-done situation. David Culley says, no, they owe me for the rest of that deal.
They're
as
paying
well.
Me the rest of my $17 million, and I want it in pennies, so it looks like a mountain.
He's going to drop it off in pennies. Here you go. We got to have somebody counting out the pennies. All right, to put it in a roll. There you go. Put
well, no, because that's the thing. Then you have to roll them, otherwise they get all mad at you. Like, you're just going to shove them in that thing like the Coinstar at the grocery store anyway. So why do I got to roll them, jerk?
I remember having to do that when I was younger, like in my early 20s, and we had all kinds of this change, and we'd be rolling money. Rolling up to take it to the bank.
Rolling up the money after that came rolled up.
Yeah. You know,
exactly.
No. Rolling money in the
back. You know, Jason Smith was once a line coach, Alex Teichert.
No kidding.
I was not.
He went to the table and he said, you're doing that wrong.
Where we would say, hey, we got like there's like, oh my God, there's like $30 in change in the car. Every time you get change, you throw it in. It's like, let's go and take this to the bank and we'll get, you know, a 20 and a 10 for it. Okay.
I had a buddy when I was at Yahoo who he only dealt in cash. He just hated the idea of credit cards. I don't know if there was something in the family, whatever. But everything was cash. So whenever he got change, it went in. He had a water cooler. So he had one of the empty, huge, you know, water bottles sitting there, and he would put the change in there. And then I forget when they would do it, but he and his brother would cash out and they'd go on a trip to Vegas. And it would be all funded by the change that they went and they dumped and cashed out.
Would they just like pull it right off and just put it in the car with him and pull it? Come on, help me carry this. This is our money.
And then they'd take it to the bank. And they had a bank that recognized the absurdity of the whole rolling thing. And they would put it into their processor. And then they'd hand them their money and off they'd drive to Vegas.
Oh, so they would just like weigh it and say like, oh, this is how much.
I mean, they would feed it through their machine like you would,
right? Oh, God, they would just drop them in. Oh, God,
but you know, like you do at the Coinstar, right? You do the little sweep and then it sorts it and it gives you your tally and then you decide either take the cash minus a fee or take the gift card or credit at the store or whatever it is and there's no fees on that. The bank has the same machine. Right, they're going to process it the same way. So they found a bank that didn't make them do the nonsense. It's like, all right, just bring in your jug. So literally they had one of those little wheelie carts like you would use as a mover. And they put this giant, however many pounds of change it was, strap it in, bring it into the bank, and then they'd wait while they dumped it. And you'd hear that machine just going, for, you know, 20 minutes because of the volume they were pushing through it.
It sounds like you were already in Vegas. That's going to go through. I hear the sounds, and I'm going to get money at the end.
I'm waiting for a ding, 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 ding. But there you go. There you go. Take your change.
So David Culley is fired as Texans head coach. And look, there's many reasons for it. Look, the Texans weren't very good. They thought Culley would come in and potentially be someone to put the franchise at ease during a lot of stressful times. He had a predisposition to running the football a lot. That didn't really work. Look, Culley got the job because nobody else wanted it. Right? It was you're coming off Bill O'Brien trading everybody and Deshaun Watson saying, I want out, I'm not going to play here anymore. Because remember, David Culley got the job when Deshaun Watson only said he wanted out. This was before all the sexual allegations that stopped him from playing in the NFL this year came out. So this was just when that's the backdrop of him getting this job. And I felt bad for the guy. Guy's a coach in the NFL for a long time. Here's your first chance at 65 being a head coach. But look, clearly the Texans, they hired David Culley because they had to hire somebody. And like I said, I feel bad for the guy because everybody says he's a nice guy and the players like him, but it was just a bad season and they need to start over. And there's the angle of it of here's another black head coach who gets let go and two more black head coaches have gotten let go and now there's only one and it's Mike Tomlin. It's been Mike Tomlin. Every time we do this story, it's still Mike Tomlin. It's Mike Tomlin. And that has to change. I mean, that really does have to change. And, you know, and that's something that's been talked about a lot today and we talked about it on the show and that's the number one thing. But the other part of it is this, and this is where it gets bigger than just who's going to be the next head coach for the teams that have openings, is that the NFL has kind of taken a page from Major League Baseball, in which now the front office and ownership are way more involved than they used to be. All right, and in baseball, we've seen that over the course of the past few years, managers coming in aren't given the keys to the kingdom saying, here you go, go do your thing. The team is yours. Put the lineup out. You know, I'm trusting you, and if it's your fault, I'm firing you. That's not the case anymore. More and more teams, because of the invention of and the advent of analytics, general managers have realized I can be involved in the sport more, and now GMs and front office members are giving the manager the lineup. This is the lineup. This is who we want to come out of the bullpen tonight. And owners are getting involved more. They used to stay away, but now they've realized that with this success of analytics and different kinds of strategies, why aren't we doing more, right? I want to be involved in the game planning. So now managers that have come in Major League Baseball don't get to come in and write their own ticket. It's very rare a guy like Joe Maddon will get a gig and, hey, just come and do your thing, Joe. We'll trust you. All right? You won a World Series with the Cubs here in Anaheim. We'll trust you. Most jobs are the manager coming in knows that he's got to work with the front office, and they're going to cut into his authority. And it's going to be something that's very palpable that the players are going to know. So if you want to manage in Major League Baseball now, you have to be comfortable with the fact that what the job used to be isn't there anymore. And there's still some jobs and some managers that have the cachet that are allowed to do their thing, but the more jobs that come open, the more jobs that are open are the ones that have to involve managers having to work with the front office and ownership. And now you're getting that way in the National Football League. As you have seen with the Houston Texans, you have an owner who wants to get involved in Cal McNair and a GM and Nick Caserio who was at odds with many people in the organization. And whoever the next head coach is in Houston has to know that they're going to be involved and they're going to be really involved. They're going to cut into your authority. Same thing in Jacksonville. You got to be beholden to the owner, right? Shad Khan, all the conversations I had with Urban Meyer. Wow, okay, you really had to have those many conversations with him? Well, probably you did. But know that if you go into Jacksonville, that's going to be the job. That's going to be the situation for you. That's how it is in the NFL now. All these jobs. Brian Flores in Miami, really good head coach. Everybody liked him. What happened? Couldn't get along with the front office and ownership, right? Had issues with the players as well. But front office ownership, that's who you have to manage well if you're going to stay on. So now whoever comes into Miami has to understand that, hey, your owner, your GM, your front office, they're going to be hugely involved in what they want you to do and the quarterbacks they want you to play and the people they want to put on the field. So that's a job where you're not going to have the same kind of authority. So while on the surface it's here's another job opening, how it's going to be filled is there's not many guys that are going to come in and say, hey, I'm the head coach. You leave it to me. Jim Harbaugh is maybe the only guy that can do that. But every other job that gets filled is going to be somebody. It's going to be a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator or a college coach coming in that's going to understand, I don't quite have the power, but I want to be a head coach. I have to really be beholden more to the GM and the director of player personnel and the owner than I ever have before. And I got to be okay with that if I want to be a head coach in the National Football League, because this is now becoming the norm. All the job openings that come, you are now working more hand in hand. You're not let alone. You are having personnel decisions dictated to you in many instances. And that's what the real issue with the NFL is now, is when you become a head coach, that's going to be the situation you walk into.
Yeah, I mean, it's just as we've talked about quite often, right? The rules of engagement and the line moves. Right, as to how you're building a franchise, and you know, some trying to say, well, hire the coach before you get the GM. It's like, well, how does that work? Right now, who's got the power play here? And it's usually top down, and now you're already building in a power struggle. No, that's not going to work. Right, there's still a structure that has to go through, and then it becomes for a guy like Harbaugh. Well, he's shown success before. And we watched how that blew up with Trent Baalke. And while, you know, as Jay Glazer said, I'm sure he's not a walk on the beach, Jim Harbaugh continues to do great things. Trent Baalke, we're looking at him with our just shrugging, going, how the hell did you mess up what was going on in Jacksonville that badly? And what happened with you and Urban? Is he writing a book? I would love to read Baalke's book about the year that they just had. There's no question there. But, you know, looking at Culley specifically, he's not the guy that traded for David Johnson thinking it was the fantasy hero of 5 years ago, oof, 6 years ago, right? Rex Burkhead became their valuable, viable running back for you later on in the year. Congratulations to you, fantasy owners that got some love from him out of desperation plays. Brandon Cooks was great. But what else did you really have? So expecting something else is absurd. But if you're coming up in the ranks, you know these are now the rules of engagement, and that autonomy is not going to be there. Even if you're coming from one of these strong programs, right? You want to go into the old coaching tree analogies and kind of do the diagrams across the board. Even if you're coming out of Kansas City, you're coming out of Tampa, you're coming out of these successful squads, and obviously we're looking straight at, you know, for Eric Bieniemy, Byron Leftwich, knowing that you're not going to get the first head coaching job and be able to run amok, right? Because you haven't been a head coach and, you know, with sustained success. And I'm not saying it's fair, because, you know, what happened with Jacksonville and all of the many, many laundry lists of steps and missteps by Urban Meyer, just unconscionable. Right, in terms of everything that was able to be done and then finally shown the door, is you're not going to get that. Why was he given it? Because he had won titles and he had the reputation, and the expectation was that he'd come in and with the number one overall pick, the golden-haired boy, everything would be great. And then it was anything but. And now he's the cautionary tale, you know, for first-time NFL head coaches going forward as well, in terms of getting that kind of control, no matter how successful you've been moving up the ranks and pushing through. But I hope those guys all get their shots and not just cursory interviews. You know, talking about Jim Caldwell would be, I think, with Harbaugh, the one guy I'd be looking at, you know, of the veteran. He'd been there, coached, and showed he can win in a different circumstance. But I don't know that that happens. Hell, I don't know that he still wants to. That's the whole other part of this. Yeah. But it's certainly, you know, when you go to the analytics, and we watched it with the Chargers, like it or not, that's where the game is. It may not be as visible, may not be as in your face as some of the calls from Staley, you know, seem to offend the sensibilities of people, ruin the sanctity of the game for some, which I say, get over yourself. Life evolves. Life is change. And in the NFL, there's still a lot of things to change, which is why we bring up the names that we do in this coaching carousel, to make sure that guys get a shot and have an office that they can work into more success and not have another one-and-done situation like we saw with Wilkes over in Arizona, or this year with Culley, where he was put in an untenable situation. And arguing that he's going to get to walk away with a giant novelty check is the worst thing you could possibly do in this process, because it just showed the horrid nature of this. Of, all right, that's supposed to be okay. Lifetime of football too. Well, he got his shot. I think it's not his fault it failed. I mean, you look at the front office, ownership, whatever, take some onus, go give this guy some stuff to work with, you know, an actual first-string running back, and see what they're able to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo. That really worked with this Aerosmith tune.
It did. It really did. I've told you for a long time, look, Tom Brady is just a bad sport. He's a bad loser. And I love watching him get so huffy when things don't go his way and he just loses his mind.
Well, you just wanted to be humanized, and for you, that's how he gets humanized,
right?
is in the moment he acts like a child until he goes on another winning streak.
Yeah. The guy who has won more than any other quarterback in the history of the game still loses his mind when things don't go his way, and it's so fun to see him just act like a little kid when things don't go his way. But today, he was asked in advance of the Bucs game against the Eagles. Remember the Bucs and the Eagles, or Tom Brady and the Patriots and the Eagles in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. A lot was made of the fact that the last couple of times Tom Brady has lost to Nick Foles, he didn't shake his hand. Didn't shake his hand against the Bears in the now famous, I thought it was, fourth down game.
Well, yeah, he didn't measure up to Nick in those games.
Right, and then after...
Oh, come on, that's a good joke.
I see what you did there, buddy.
Yeah.
I dig that. And then, of course, the snubbed handshake at the end of the Super Bowl. It was brought up to Brady today in advance of the game against the Eagles, and this is what he had to say in response.
I've shaken Nick's hand plenty of times, though, so I have a lot of respect for Nick, and you know, I try to be a good sport as best I can. I know it doesn't always look like that because sometimes I get a little pissed out there. But for the most part, I try to be a good sport.
Yeah, no.
Basically, for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. No, when I win, I'm a good sport. When we lose, I'm not a good sport. That's basically
what fortunately, he doesn't lose that often.
Right, exactly. Oh, man, he lost more. Forget it. His behavior.
Well, you'd get used to it, so maybe it wouldn't sting as much.
It doesn't matter.
Maybe if he was a Jet, it wouldn't matter. we lost again. Hey, yeah. I haven't seen that guy in a while. Let's go say hi and shake his hand.
I'm just going to give you the wave as I walk off the field, right? When you see the coaches do that, when they don't want to walk and shake hands, just give the wave. All right, hey, good game. Yeah, I'm going to walk off.
I'm not going to lie. We didn't play well. Leave me alone.
Look, Brady had to go blankety-blank Dennis Allen in the middle of the game when Brady wasn't playing well this year when he was coaching for the Saints. I mean, this is who Brady is. He's a bad sport, right?
He's not the only one, as we found out from Jay Glazer, to blankety-blank Dennis Allen.
Well, when it's your own team doing it, well, you know, we'll get to that next hour on the show. We'll get to that part of it. But that's who Brady is. He's a bad sport. And he acts like a kid. And I wish that he would be able to show that he was a better sport if they lose. But I guarantee if they lose this week, he's just going to run off the field. He's going to be mad that he lost. And he's going to run off the field. He's not going to shake hands with Jalen Hurts or anybody else. And that's because that's who Brady is. He just doesn't want – when I get so mad, I can't do it. I can't be a pro and do what everybody else does. Because everybody else's hearts are broken at the end of big playoff games when they lose. Brady's not the only guy. Other quarterbacks don't walk up the field and go, what do I care? That's early vacation. Everybody else is heartbroken too, and they still find a way to go shake hands with the other team, with the other quarterback or people on the other side. But Brady, I'm just too pissed. I can't do it. Oh, yes, what a great competitor you are. You're a better competitor than everybody else because you won't shake hands at the end. I told you this is who Brady is, and he just admitted it. And I try to be a good sport. Sometimes I'm too pissed. Okay. Now, I'm glad he at least said who he is.
Right. I mean, look, this is exactly what you wanted. This is the honesty. Sometimes I'm not very good at it. I'm growing as a person and evolving.
You're 44, man. Come on, dude.
Hey, you're not even at the half-life. So maybe you can teach old dogs new tricks. I don't know. That's just who he is. And if that's the worst thing he's doing to society, God bless him. He's done okay.
He's a baby. This is why I like to see him lose, because I want to see him walk off the field going, it's not fair. I just lost the game. I'm supposed to win. I'm supposed to win Super Bowl.
You just want him to feel like you do on Sundays.
I'm an icon. Oh, I've never. No, come on.
And Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
No. I feel that
or whenever
way.
The Knicks play.
We haven't made the playoffs in 11 years, Mike Harmon. 11 years.
It's a lot of sad days and ice cream.
Up next, a big quarterback story out of the NFL. This is Fox.